Hello, and welcome to episode 44 of the Bible Q&A with Pastor Stephen. My name is Stephen Pace, and I'm the senior pastor at Decatur Bible Church in Decatur, Michigan. On this podcast, I attempt to answer Bible questions in a clear but thorough manner. If you would like to have a Bible-related question considered for a future episode, you can email me your question to PastorStephenDBC@gmail.com. Again, you can email me any questions you have, Bible-related questions, to PastorStephenDBC@gmail.com. This is going to be the first in a series of podcasts where we will be examining Matthew's prophecies related to the birth of Jesus. So again, over the next few podcasts, what we'll be looking at is there are many prophecies related to the birth of Jesus, but in this series of podcasts, we'll be looking at those specifically in the early chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. And hopefully these will set your mind and prepare your hearts for the time in which we celebrate the birth of Jesus. I know it's easy to get busy in this time of the year, but hopefully this will help us to keep our minds and our hearts focused on the Lord Himself, as well as be reminded that God's Word is true and we can always trust it to be fulfilled. So go ahead and grab your Bibles and let's get started. Now as we begin, let me just remind you that we will be looking at primarily using Matthew chapter 1 and 2 to guide us along the way. So as we get started, one of the things to begin with when we look at this is that, of course, there are many prophecies related to the birth of Jesus. It's quite amazing how many they are. But the first thing we're going to look at is that the Messiah would need to be a descendant of three prominent Old Testament figures. So again, the first thing we're going to start with in terms of looking at these prophecies of Matthew related to the birth of Jesus is that the Messiah would need to come from three prominent Old Testament figures. And of course the question is, okay, well, who is that? We're going to go through and look at each of these three, and we're going to start with Abraham. The Messiah would need to be a descendant and be descended from Abraham. Now, where we would begin looking at this in terms of the Messiah himself, in fact, is all the way back in Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12 and in verse 3. Now, Genesis chapter 12, if you're familiar, you know that that is where the Abrahamic covenant is provided to us. So again, Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. That is where we have the first mention of the Abrahamic covenant. And if you were to turn there, of course, the Lord speaks to Abram. He has not changed his name to Abraham yet. But as Abraham goes to journey to Egypt, the Lord says, "Go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. And so you shall be a blessing." But notice verse 3, "And I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth will be blessed." In particular, I want us to notice that last sentence, if you will, in verse 3 of Genesis 12. Note it says, "And in you all the families of the earth will be blessed." So we know early on that the Messiah was going to need to come through Abraham's lineage, or his seed, as some translations call it. He's a descendant, an offspring. And so through the lineage of Abraham would need to come the Messiah. Of course, the question is that fulfilled in Jesus? And do we have, of course, biblical references? And the answer is yes, it's fulfilled. And we can find that in our first look at Matthew chapter 1. So in Matthew chapter 1, we have, it says in verse 1, the record of the genealogy of Jesus, the Messiah, the son of David, but notice the son of Abraham. So in Jesus' genealogy there, what you start off with is that it says that this is the book or the record that contains Jesus' genealogy. The book of Matthew is curious for various reasons, but we must keep in mind that it was written primarily with the Jewish audience in mind. That isn't to say that Gentiles can't get anything from it, far from that, but the way to read it is to remember that Matthew is writing to a Jewish audience. The Jewish audience would have certain expectations of the Messiah, and you see there, the first there is related to Abraham. I'm going to read this to you. It comes from Thomas Constable's notes. It says here, God vowed that he would unconditionally provide seed, land, and blessing to Abraham and his descendants, as noted in Genesis 12, verses 1 through 3, and so forth. Abraham would not only receive blessing from God, but he would also be a source of blessing to the whole world. So that's a helpful note there from Constable's notes. So the Messiah would need to come from the descendant of Abraham, but what are the other two Old Testament figures? Well, the next one we'll look at is Isaac. The Messiah would need to come through the lineage of Isaac. What you'll see here in just a moment is that Jesus, the Messiah, is going to need to come through the line of the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and then Jacob. But for now, we're going to look at Isaac. That actually would come from a reference in Genesis chapter 17 and verse 19. And you'll see there it says, but God said, no, but Sarah, your wife, will bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant for his descendants after him. So as you go through the Old Testament, in particular Genesis, what you have is the importance of genealogy, descendants, people's offspring. So you have Abraham, now we have Isaac, and of course the question again is Jesus, and does he fulfill that? And again, Matthew's prophecies and the things that we'll be looking at show where Jesus fulfilled not only Abraham, but if you are in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 2, notice how Matthew records this genealogy. He says, Abraham was the father of Isaac, and so you see where the Messiah would need to come through not only Abraham, as noted in verse 1, but you see the continuation in verse 2, where he would also need to come through the lineage of Isaac. And so we see where Jesus has fulfilled Abraham, Isaac. Well, what would be the next one? Well, as I said earlier, the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and the next one would be Jacob. We find this one in Genesis chapter 28 and verse 14. When I say this, I'm referring to the prophecy that was foretold in Genesis, now on the third one, that Matthew records the fulfillments of. And again, as a Jewish audience, they would have been expecting these things. So with Jacob, in Jacob, we see in Genesis 28 in verse 14, you'll see, for instance, this is related to Jacob's dream, if you're familiar with it. Verse 14 says, your descendants will also be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. But notice in particular, and in you and in your descendants shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So what you see here is, if you go back to the original, what we started with, the Messiah would need to be the descendant of three prominent Old Testament figures. And we say, who is that? Well, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And you can see the similarities, the key word being blessed or a blessing. Of course, the nation of Israel has been a blessing. And of course, the various components to that. But in particular, the focus is on the coming one, the Messiah, that the Old Testament develops over the course of time. Before we move on, let me read you this. This comes from Stanley Toussaint's Matthew commentary, a really good commentary, Behold the King. And he says, related to Matthew's early genealogies, he says, quote, by this brief superscription, Matthew discloses the theme of his book, Jesus is the one who shall consummate God's program. And that's what we need to look at initially. So you have the prophecies in the Old Testament looking for the Messiah to come through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Matthew, right off and right at the gate, starts off with, this is the Messiah, Jesus, and he fulfills those three components, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Today, of course, we can see Jesus in terms of consummating, as Toussaint says, God's program in terms of salvation when he did that on the cross. But I also think we can look forward to the future, as we'll see later on in these series of Matthew's prophecies. So we look at seeing what Jesus has done on the cross and can be encouraged knowing that God's program was fulfilled related to that, and most certainly all of the other aspects related to Jesus' future prophecies, we know those will come and be fulfilled as well. Now, as we move into the next part of the podcast, I'm going to be asking a question here. I want you to consider, which of the four Gospels gives us the birth narrative of Jesus? So again, which of the four Gospels that we have in the New Testament gives us the birth narrative of Jesus? In other words, which of them gives the story of the birth of Jesus? Of course, we have four Gospels. We have what we sometimes call the Synoptics, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, similar in many ways. Of course, each of them have their themes and nuances. But then, of course, the fourth gospel, the most unique one probably, is the Gospel of John. But in any case, the options we have are Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Each of them portray Jesus the same, but also unique. In other words, certain aspects that we get from each of the four. Jesus is king in Matthew. He's the servant of the Lord in Mark. He's the Son of Man in Luke. And then he's the Son of God in John. But where is the story of Jesus' birth recorded? Well, the way I like to sort of narrow it down is, if you look at the four, Mark begins with John the Baptist. And so it skips over or doesn't include the birth narrative. Oddly enough, the Gospel of John is somewhat similar to that. You have the prologue, John chapter 1, verses 1 through 18. Of course, it talks there about the eternality of Jesus and some of those other things in the prologue. But in a similar way to Mark, once the, if you will, story begins after the prologue, it goes right into John the Baptist. So Mark and John do not give us the birth stories, if you will, of Jesus. So that only leaves two, Matthew and Luke, and that is where we find our answers. Matthew and Luke are the two Gospels that give the birth, the stories, if you will, about the birth of the Lord Jesus. One way that people tend to try to remember this is that Matthew is often seen as giving the birth from Joseph's standpoint, whereas Luke's gives it from Mary's. And that's probably a helpful way to remember it. So again, which of the four Gospels gives us the birth narratives of Jesus? You could look at it from one of those two ways, but essentially you have the answer is Matthew and Luke. Matthew is telling the story largely, not entirely, but largely from Joseph's standpoint, whereas Luke tells it from Mary's, and that's an easy way to remember it. All right, so now as we continue, we're going to resume by looking at some more of Matthew's prophecies that are related to the birth of Jesus. So we've seen where Jesus has the need and did fulfill that he was the descendant of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This next piece, and the last piece we'll look at for this episode, is that the Messiah was to be a specific ruler. So again, on this look at these prophecies, we're going to see where the Messiah needed to be a specific type of ruler. The first one we're going to see is that he needed to be a ruler from the tribe of Judah. Of course, there were 12 tribes, but the Messiah would need to come through and be one from the tribe of Judah. Now, of course, as we did with the other, where do we see this in the Old Testament? Well, we once again find this in Genesis. Genesis chapter 49, in fact, tells us that the Messiah, so we know that it'll come through the lineage, the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but Messiah would also need to be one day, or will be one day, a king. Notice here, it says in Genesis 49 and verse 10, this is Israel's prophecy that concerns the sons that he has and would have. But notice verse 10, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, until Shiloh comes, and to him shall be the obedience of the peoples. Now this is one of the interesting to me Old Testament messianic prophecies, full of information here that we could do an entire podcast on, just that one verse. But essentially what you have here is this prophecy that is given, and if you notice, the nation of Israel is barely even really a nation at this point. They're really just a group of people. They have not even made it to the promised land, let alone have an established monarchy, a king, and those sorts of things. So this is very early days here, but you'll see where there's a reference to the fact that there would be rulership, kingship, and so forth. The Ryrie Study Bible is helpful here. It says, quote, "This prediction did not begin to be fulfilled until the time of King David, some 640 years after Jacob's prophecy. In terms of Shiloh comes, this means the one who brings peace." That's interesting as well, isn't it? So as you note there, Ryrie makes the point that this is some 640 years ahead of King David, which is quite astonishing. And then when you just look at the word there, Shiloh, there's the idea there of peace. Of course, Jesus gives peace on the cross. But of course, we know that in the future, one day, Jesus will reign in the Messianic kingdom, and that will be a time of peace and righteousness, unlike anything we could even fathom, far from what we see today, for sure. So, as we look at these prophecies, Jesus needs to fulfill being a descendant from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He needs to be a ruler from the tribe of Judah. Now, as we look at in terms of Matthew's prophecies about this, you'll see once again in the genealogy of Jesus himself where we see this was fulfilled. Notice Matthew chapter 1. Verse 2 and 3, it says, "Abraham was the father of Isaac, Isaac the father of Jacob, and Jacob the father of Judah and his brothers. Judah was the father of Perez." And so you see there the references to Judah. So the tribe of Judah would be one in which Jesus obviously fulfills that. We see that in other places as well. For example, Revelation chapter 5. And verse 5 speaks of Jesus being from the tribe of Judah, the lion there. The last and the next one we're going to look at, I alluded to in the quote from Ryrie, but that Jesus, of course, would need to be a ruler from the tribe of Judah, which we see so far he fulfilled, but he also was to be the heir of King David's throne. So there's the significance of King David becomes part of these Matthew prophecies in Matthew chapter 1. Now, in order to understand this, we will see and need to consider what's called the Davidic covenant. It's fascinating to me that Matthew chapter 1 and verse 1 speaks of and at least alludes to, takes place with the Abrahamic covenant. But you'll also see in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 1, it says that this is the record genealogy of Jesus, the Messiah, the son of David. David actually takes prominence, if you notice, in the genealogy over Abraham. And what I mean by that is in terms of sequence. You would think that it would say the son of Abraham. But again, this is written to a Jewish audience who would expect the Messiah to come from the patriarchs, but we're looking for a king to fulfill the what we call Davidic covenant. And of course, they were looking for a king. Now, you might think, well, where is this mentioned in the Old Testament? The Davidic covenant is mentioned in particular in 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 12 through 13. So 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 12 through 13 speaks of the Davidic covenant, and that the covenant would be fulfilled through the lineage of King David. You can also see where this is referenced in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, as well as Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 through 5. And so, of course, the question is this fulfilled? And we know this to be certain just simply from looking at Matthew's prophecies in these early portions of his gospel. So we see the answer of fulfillment in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 1, but I'll draw your attention to verse 6 of the genealogy here. Jesse was the father of David, notice the king. David was the father of Solomon, and so forth. So you see there where there's the reference in particular to David, but it's not just simply as David, but it's David as the king. The expectation was that the ruler would come and be a king. But let's drop down here and see verse 17 before we finish. Notice it says, so all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations. So what you see is, again, this idea in Matthew's early prophecies that Jesus was, in fact, the offspring of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He came from the tribe of Judah, but he also is a descendant to fulfill the Davidic covenant. He would be a king on the throne of David. So one thing I think with this that should encourage us today is that Jesus is going to be a unique king in so many ways. One of those in particular that I want us to consider as we finish is that he is unlike earthly kings in many ways. One in particular always stands out to me, which is that his kingdom is eternal and it's forever. And you look at the book of Daniel, the book of Daniel chapter 2 describes the empires, the kingdoms of this world, man's kingdoms, man's day, his time to reign. But for man, one day those kingdoms will end. And in Daniel chapter 2, you see no matter how great the kingdoms and kings are of this earth, their time is brief. They're transient, unlike the Messiah who would come at the end and there would be no kingdom after it. Jesus will be the king and is a king, but we know that when he returns and establishes the messianic millennial kingdom on earth, it not only will be unlike any of the other kingdoms, it will be peaceful, it'll be pure righteousness, but it'll be unlike all other earthly kingdoms in that it'll be eternal. And so it begs the question as Christians, is we should not be so focused on the things of this world, but on the things of the kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus, which will come. It's not up for debate. It's not up for committee or for someone to vote on. Jesus' kingdom will come and it will be established on earth. And there'll be nothing to get in its way. In fact, not even the horrors of the tribulation. I'm going to end by reading this episode with Revelation chapter 11, verse 15. In the midst of the horrors and the difficulties of the tribulation, it says, then the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever and ever. Amen. Well, that concludes today's episode. Be sure to tune in for the next one. We'll continue looking at more of Matthew's prophecies related to Jesus' birth. Until then, God bless and Maranatha.